Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you, the McCurry household, again. And pray that it'll be a little trip that's worthwhile to you. We're going to be in Hosea again tonight. We're going to do, I don't know how much, but we're going to do at least through the third chapter of Hosea, because it is so critically important at the things that we've been looking at over the past weeks and months and even years concerning God's plan and purpose for His children Israel. And of course, we got into Jeremiah and Ezekiel not in a real in-depth situation, but in some depth to get an understanding of what it was that God was doing with them and removing them from the temple area of Jerusalem and Jerusalem itself and that surrounding area there that they had been so grossly involved in this idolatrous worship, and it wasn't just confined to those two tribes and the priest that were there, but we also find out that we've jumped back about 200 years before Ezekiel, and we are looking at things that happened with the 10 tribes that were more what we call, I guess, the northern group of God's people, because they not only had left God, but they had left the land that God had given them. They weren't, many of them were not in, the place where they had been given this. They had decided the idolatrous way was their way and they just left. And, so, you know, we go back and we look and, we find that this is prevalent. You know, and it goes way back. And so our study tonight is going to pick up in Hosea 2:4. And this is study 122 for the tapes fact. And this is still a symbolical picture of what God is doing with the 10 tribes, basically, and using Hosea as one of the main characters in this symbolic picture that is being played out before our eyes in the study of walk. And we still run across these things from time to time, and I don't know if we'll get as far down as that tonight in this study, but there's a place down there where it says, I will move them or take them or send them. And that word is holak. It's going as man goes, not maybe so much as God would have man to go. And you know, that was the two entities when we started the study way back over 2 years ago, that there was two different types of walking. One was to walk the way God would have man to walk, and the other was walking the way that man wanted to walk without God's guidance. And boy, did Israel ever do this. And so this is pretty much where we're at in our study tonight. And the fact is that Hosea was told to pick him a wife of whoredom, and which I guess that wasn't in those days with the children of Israel. It wasn't hard to do because these people that had left God and had left the land were there because of them wanting to do the things that they wanted to do themselves rather than the things that God required of them to do. And so, it's really intriguing. And, you know, we went through these children and she's had three children and they were called, Lo-Harama and Lo-Ami and Jezreel. But the Lo-Ami or the Lo-Ami is, something that, you know, we see in several places in scripture. It isn't just here. And of course, the greatest one is in Acts 28:28, where when God unplugged the clock for Israel as far as his dealings with them in a particular way. And I think this was the reason why this part of the scripture here, at least to me, was very, very important. And so, we'll just pick up with 4 of chapter 2 and go on because, you know, to go back, we probably would need to go back to the chapter 2 and just read down, and we can still do that. And it might be a good idea that we do. It says, "Say ye unto your brother, Am I, and to your sister, Ruhamah." And if you put Lo in front of them, the Lo means not. So evidently there's a little change that has taken place here to some extent. And it says here, "Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts." And then this was the verse where we left last week, "Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst." So if you remember here that this is symbolical, and when God talks about these things happening to her, to Gomer, which Hosea took as a wife for this thing to be played out before us that we can see how it works, then we realize that her can be used as Israel because she is symbolical of Israel. Israel's going on. So, and it says, and he was going to set her like a dry land or like a famine and slay her with thirst due to no water in verse 3. Now, this is March the 22nd, 2017 with this study. We're going to pick up right here, and he says, "And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms." So he makes it quite plain that the sons of Israel, the individual members of the nation collectively, He says he's going to have no love. He's going to have no compassion. And this is Jehovah, of course, speaking through Hosea. And he says, for they be the children of whoredoms, idolatries. And they there are the nation or the members of the nation collectively. They be the children or the offspring, if you will, of whoredom. They're idolatries. And they are characters of unfaithfulness, if you will. In verse 4, because that's how they're looked upon by Jehovah. And this was the reason we have this picture. Then we get down to verse 5. It says, for their mother, Gomer, hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers. That give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax, mine oil, and my drinks. So you see, there's a situation here Gomer played before she ever knew Hosea, before she come in contact with Hosea, because she practiced these idolatry. She hath played these things to the hilt. And I think if she was ever a sexual being of the Bible, I think you got the picture here. And because of her situation, then you can look and see Israel's situation. It was the same way. So it's no different. And played the harlot there, 2581 in the Strong's, and the word is Kahane. And it means that she gave favors. She that conceived them, and this talking about Gomer here again, found with child, hath done shamefully. And shamefully there is 3001 in the Strong's, and it's Yalbashi is the English of that, Yalbashi. And it means to be ashamed, and therefore has become or is a disappointment unto God. And so this is what Israel was to God. They were ashamed. They were like Gomer. They didn't hold up to the vision that God had for them. And it goes on. It says, for she said, see all these claims for her are to return to the past ways. And the past ways are the sinful ways. And this is representing the nation in its 10 tribes. It's representing Israel in its 10 tribes. So her claims that she is going to talk about here are claims that give her great opportunity as being a harlot in this giving of favors. And what she says is this, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax and mine oil and my drinks. Well, she's giving accolades to the wrong people. Mm-hmm. Because it was God that had done all this to begin with. We can go back to the 16th chapter of Ezekiel and show that that the representation is the same thing, whether you're of Benjamin and Judah or were you the other tribes. It doesn't make any difference in that situation. So you see, she's talking about, I will go after my lovers. And she's talking about her Baals or her lords. Looking back, those that give me bread and my water. So she's giving men here her honor rather than these things that were given by God. Man is getting the honor rather than God because of the goings on here. And, you know, it seemed to me to be very easy for God just to throw up his hand and say, yeah, I'm done with this. But he didn't. He went on and on. He never did.
Long suffering.
Absolutely.
To us.
She talks about my wool and my flax and my oil and my drink. What does all this mean? My wool here is clothing and shelter. A lot of times, these people roaming from place to place used whatever they could to make their clothes. And they used whatever they had to make their shelter. And a lot of times the woven wool was the tents for their livelihood or their shelter. And then it says my flax. And flax there is 6593, and the word is piste, and it means linen threads. And of course, when you get down to the finery of things, you know, the Orient had their silk, but these people had the linen threads made out of the flax. And the linen was something kind of akin to silk. It was not quite as fine and had the sheen, but it did the job. And then it talks about, mine oil. She talks about mine oil here. And this can come in different forms, but it's the word sheman. Sheman. It means mine oil, my fat and or wax. And of course, I think the beeswax was involved in this, and the oil, of course, was the fat of the animals or the tallow that they made their lights and so forth out of these things. And that was a very intricate thing at that point. They didn't have kerosene, and they didn't understand the petroleum stuff that they were walking over. But yet, a lot of it was there. And then it says, my drink. And the drink is 8250 in the strong. And it has a pretty common form of usage here. It means a beverage to refresh or to replenish one. So all these things that are given by God, she says, you know, my lovers gave me these things. No, it all came from God. And we need to remember that certainly that's the way it goes. So we get down to verse 6. And we start with a therefore. Because of Gomer's words, because of what she had just said. we find the word behold. I will hedge up thy ways with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Huh. That's interesting. So it says, behold, asterisknos. It's put there for that example, for emphasis. Jehovah said, I will hedge up thy ways. And now he speaks directly to her. And to hedge up your ways, Gomer, is the hedge means to shut in. And it can be for formation, or it can be for protection. But if you're going to hedge up something, if you're going to hedge something, and one of the big things about the word hedge is the word grave.
Separator.
Because it separates, it puts you in a place that there's no way out except God. No way out. And that's really being hedged in. To be shut in. And that is a real thought that came to mind when I was writing the notes down and going through the Strong's looking at. I will hedge up thy ways, and it could mean a restraint. And the restraint there could be with thorns, because that's 55:18 in the Strong's. And I believe the English part of that is seep, S-E-E-P. I might have misspelt that. I'm not really sure. But these thorns are sticker bushes, to give it a common name. And it says, and make a wall. And when they're talking about, when he's talking about here is to make a wall of stone that she shall not find her paths. So to make a wall is for restraint or for an enclosure. And generally it's speaking about stone, because they were many stones in the places where they were in that age and in those days, and probably still are. And she was not to be allowed to find her path or to tread a known pathway. So, to be hedged up, and the way God talks about being hedged up is something that man cannot by himself get out of. And we need to keep that in mind also. Then we get to verse 7. And verse 7 says this, and she, Gomer, shall fall after or eagerly trail her lovers, these early affections that she had. And if you look at the lovers there, this one is 157. And it is Ahab in the Strong's. And in her case, It meant the early affections of those that she dealt with, you know, before she met Hosea. But it says, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. Ooh. For then it was better with me than now. Well, who was her first husband? We'll have to find that out. Because Hosea was told to go take him a wife of whoredom. And so he did. But he says, she's not my wife and I'm not her husband. But yet, you know, they had these children together as symbolism of the 10 tribes. But she shall not overtake them or will not catch up to them in her trials. And she shall seek them or earnestly look for them, but shall not find them. And she will discover that she cannot find them at that point. Then shall she say. You see, when you get to a point with your own dealings and your own ways of understanding, sometimes when you get to a point, then you have to change your mind. Everybody does. Over and over again. So we all come to these points. So Gomer came to this point when she said, well, I'll get out there and catch up to him. I'll take off and find him. Then at that point, then she said, I will go. And go there is the word Yalak. It's 32:12. So going there is to go that God wants her to go. So that gives you a clue right there is to her husband. I will go and return to my first husband, Jehovah. Ezekiel 16:8-9. So let's go back to Ezekiel 16. Nope. Take but a few pages to go back there. It's on page 1124 in Ezekiel 16. Now, we read some of Ezekiel last time, but we didn't read these words. It says in Ezekiel 16:8-9, and whether this is in Jerusalem or whether this is in the other countries, God has seen all these things. And one is pretty similar to the other one. So we can address that in Ezekiel of in the Jerusalem area. We can address this as if it was in Assyria or somewhere where the other tribes were. Ezekiel 16:8-9. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. Do you not kindly understand as God looked at Israel and the young of Israel as being those of his love? And of course, those of their love, because God in his wisdom gives children to young people, to younger people. They don't wait till they get as old as I am. and give them children, because that's just doesn't work. Okay. But he says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. So you see, when God chose his people, they agreed to become his. And he says, okay, I covered your nakedness. I've done all these things for you. He did. He said, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away that blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. So this was Israel in its youth. And so Gomer is saying here, I will go and return to my first husband. I will go back to a place like Ezekiel 16, 8 and 9, where God had love for me and who I was, and he chose me, and he was like a husband to me, and this was Jehovah. And she could say this, for then was it better with me than now. So at that time that God chose Israel and called them out to do things for him and carry his word to the rest of the world, it was or is better with Gomer than it now is, because she has sunken from a place and position of honor to a place and position of sin. Great sin. Okay. Everybody with me there? I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. Amen. Verse 8. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. So you see, that was the situation that Gomer was in. She grew up like the rest of the children of Israel, but she chose to look the other way. It said, for she did not know, or she did not understand, that I, Jehovah, representing Israel, gave her. Because when you say gave her, or when you see the word her, this is a representation of Israel. That I gave Israel corn and wine, food and drink, this new wine, this troosh. And all, this is the fat and the wax again that we talked about a little earlier. And it said it multiplied or increased her riches, her silver, and her gold, which they prepared for Baal. What'd they do? They made offerings to Baal, these false gods that were worshipped by all of those that were supposed to carry God's word to the world. What did God say? He says, therefore, I will return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. Okay. So he says, therefore, because of this, I will return in judgment. Whoa. When God says he is going to return, somebody's going to pay. We used to have an old highway patrol here years ago, and he gave me a lot of grief about my school bus because I went down a lot of muddy roads and I couldn't ever keep it cleaned out on the inside. And we were talking one day, all the bus drivers and this highway patrolman, and he says, you know, I'm kind of like a doctor. When I go out to investigate something, somebody's going to pay. And this is kind of reminded me that when God says, I will return. Okay. When he returns, somebody's going to pay.
Be a lot of attention.
In judgment. And take back. He says, I'm going to take away or take back, if that makes sense to you, my corn. And corn there is symbolical of fruit of the grain, or it's food of bread. You know, anytime you talk about corn or grain, it's generally something that can be made into bread. And we talk about bread and water. We talk about bread and other stuff. So, you know, this is, this is just a normal thing. And he says, in the time thereof. You see that? In the time? He says, I'm going to return in the time. And I'm going to take away or take back my corn in the time thereof or during this season. And I'm going to get my wine in the time, because the time of wine may not be the time of corn. So all of these things are his and they are from him. God has allowed man these things, and yet we sometimes just don't give him credit where they come from. And he says, and I will rescue or recover my wool. And he's speaking here about the things made of wool, and also he could be talking even about his sheep, where the wool come from in that situation. And it also could be shelter, as we mentioned before, and my flax, or the linen threads given to her, or those things that she were allowed, things that Israel had that God had made provisions for, given to her to cover or to hide her ervah, her nakedness. 61:72 in the Strong's. And this is also, the nakedness here is either nudity or her shame or both, in that sense. And so this is what he says, therefore I'm going I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back in judgment. And during the times it's going to be convenient for them together, it's not going to be so. I'm going to take back my corn. And he has a lot of different ways of doing this. And so there's, and it is beyond, much of it is beyond man and that. Okay. And I want to go before I read verse 10. Let's go back to Ezekiel 16 again. Now I've got a bookmark in my Bible. I hope you have, but you may not have. But I knew I was going back there again. And so we're going to look at two verses that we looked at last time. But we're going to look at verse 37 and 38 because we want to read this before we read verse 10 of chapter 2 of Hosea, because it kind of tells you what's going to take place here. He says, "Behold, therefore," in Ezekiel 16:37, "Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that hast loved with all them that hast hated. I will even gather them around about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy." Verse 38 says, "as," and that means with the judgment meted out to, i.e., or by death, of Leviticus 20:20 and Deuteronomy 22:22. In John 8:5, in Genesis 38:24. So evidently, there is a judgment of death to be had that goes along with this sort of thing. Now, can be. So let's look at verse 10. And it says, "And now I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand." So, this goes right back to what we just read in Ezekiel 16 with the things that happened there in the Jerusalem area and the surrounding area of the temple there. And if you remember that Ezekiel's wife lost her life in the same situation because she was not carried away by Nebuchadnezzar in that first group with Ezekiel. And when he chose him, he said, and he foretold him, "Your wife is going to die because judgment was going to be upon where she was in that area of Jerusalem. And she wasn't going to make it." But he also told Ezekiel, "Don't shed a tear for him in the public. Don't go before your compadres that I send you to and say anything about her." He didn't. And he didn't say anything about her, but when he dressed in the clothing that told them that he had lost his wife, then they inquired about him and he still didn't answer them. But he didn't shed a tear for her because she died in this, the same horrid situation. And so here we are. And it says, and now I will discover or shamelessly show and discover there is Galal, 15:14 in the Strong's, her lewdness or her disgrace. And that is 50:40. I believe it might be 50:90. My writing's got a little rough here. Or her disgrace. And that word is Nabloth. Before the eyes or in the sight of her lovers. The ones that she have or had affection for. And none shall deliver or rescue her out of my Jehovah's possession or hand. So there was nothing they could do to stop him from bringing judgment upon her. But we know that he didn't do it with her, but she represented Israel, and he did do judgment upon Israel. And so we get to verse 11. How much time we got going here? A little bit. And he says, and I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. Well, what is he talking about here when he says, I will cause all her mirth to cease? I looked this up not really knowing what to expect. And he said, and now Jehovah will cause all her mirth. And that mirth there is 48:85. And the word is mosos in the English. And mirth there comes down to the feeling of joy. She is going to lose in Israel. She represents Israel. And Israel is going to lose all their feeling of joy because of the judgment that God puts forth upon his people. I will cause all her feeling of joy to cease, to abate, or to stop, or to leave her, or to leave Israel. And that's sad commentary. Then we have the rest of verse 11. It said her feast days, her new moons and her Sabbaths. And in the note in the CB, all these here, it says should be in the singular. And also it, which includes all of her solemn feast. And feast is plural here too, so it's the same. And so the joy of all of these individual times are for Israel are going to be gone. And you know, they celebrated these things year after year after year after year. And so you see the significance of the symbolism here. That if he takes it from Gomer, he's going to take it from Israel. And so the joy of the feast day, whether it be one day or many days, or the new moons, whether it be one or many, or the Sabbaths, whether it be one or many, and these things are really a lot of the things that got them into trouble anyway, because of the being away all these years from their land.
A lot of what Paul's talking about in Colossians, where he says, no respecter of the new moons and Sabbath days, which all perish with using.
Yeah. it's all gone. Yeah. It's all left them. So, I thought that note there in the companion Bible about it being singular, was because they were at different times and they might have been, it might have went on for days, the feast. I don't know, but, it was a singular event that happened every year for them,
yeah.
Whether it went for days or just one day. But
their feast and their Sabbaths and all,
yeah,
that,
so
all their days.
It, you know, we generally know, unless it was a high holy time, the Sabbaths were basically once a week.
Yeah.
And in verse 12, and it says, "And I will, Jehovah, destroy or lay waste Israel's vineyards and her fig trees, her vines and her fig trees." Here's her and her. Israel and Israel. The vineyards, and I don't know what they call, it might be groves for figs, I don't know, but I put orchards here because I didn't look up fig trees because I think we all kind of understand what fig trees are. So, I just wrote what came to my mind there about the orchards. And it says, "Whereof," and that "whereof" is, if you go back and look at verse 5, he used "whereof" there, I think. "And I will go after my lovers that give bread, water, flax, oil, and my drink." I can't remember what. "Lay waste." Oh, that was in 12. Well, this is where we are in 12. It says "whereof" there in 12 is in verse 5. Oh, it's the word "in."
Yeah,
in verse 5. I still don't see it that way. I don't really know what that meant. But that of verse 5. "She hath said," here in 12, "and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the fields shall eat them." So here again is Israel ascribing to others the things that God have given unto them. And it says, "She hath said, these are my rewards." These are things that I've got as payments for sex. "Those of my affection, that my lovers, those of my affection hath given me, or swap for my favors, and I will make them a forest." God, Jehovah says this, "I will make them a forest," talking about the vineyards and the fig trees. "I will make them a forest, and the beast of the fields shall eat them." So he is saying so much as, "I will return the pasture land," or "I will return the tillable land back and allow it to grow up, back to a forest." I think we all know and understand pretty much that if you clear a place, if you don't continue to keep it clear, Mother Nature or God will take it back, whatever you, however you want to look at it that way. The seeds and the things will just automatically come back. So it said the beast of the field or the wild animals shall eat or devour them. And I will, Jehovah says, and I will visit upon her or point or avenge. That visit there is 6485, and it's the word paukad. It means to appoint or to avenge the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. And thirteen is a pretty long verse, and we'll do it and stop. We started a little late, but and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewelry, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. So he says, I will visit upon her, appoint or avenge the days of Balaam. And the days of Balaam goes right along with the feast days, because as certainly as God would take away the joy of the feast days, he would also take away the joy that they had of worshiping Baal in these different manners and ways. So it's, there are several of them, and I will just use three of them there that the CB uses. Baal Gad, Baal Hermon, Baal Zephon, and Baal Berith. And so I don't know how many more Baals they were, but I guess they had names for the many kinds of, and I don't know what made them different in their situation, because that's something that doesn't impress me very much. He says, wherein or at that time she burned incense to them. And incense, or burned there, is 6999, and that word is kaltar. T-A-R, K-A-W-T-A-R, kaltar. And she burned incense to them. And this is the idea of fumigation by smoke. And I think we all understand some part of it. The idea of fumigating by smoke means that you could drive out the bad, I guess. And then the smoke turns into a fragrant or fragrance by fire, and is used by an act of worship, because it starts out as smoke. And you know, when you burn incense, I guess it doesn't smell good when it's burning, but as the smoke wafts away, then you could smell the odor of what the incense was made from, to the extent that it permeates the whole place. In that sense, if you can understand that. And it says, and she decked herself, Gomer, adorned herself, and it could involve also painting, Let's just look it up. Ezekiel 23, it's on page 1139. It ain't far from Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 23, and we're going to look at 40, 41, and 42. Page 1139 in the Companion Bible. It said, furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from afar, unto whom a messenger was sent, and lo, they came, for whom that they didst wash thyself. You washed yourself, you painted thine eyes, and decked thyself with ornaments. See, so painting was involved in all of this. And saith, sattest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. Now he says, when you were preparing for these dudes, and you were dressing yourself up, getting yourself washed and painted and adorned and all this stuff that you sat upon a stately bed and a table prepared before it where you had set my incense and mine oil, and a voice of a multitude being at ease was with her, and with the men of the common sort were bought Sabaeans from the wilderness, with put bracelets upon their hands and beautiful crowns upon their head, and said, I unto her that was old and adulterous, will thou now commit whoredoms with her, and she with them. So you see, that's what they're talking about here. Not so much in Ezekiel, but here in Hosea. So she had been decked herself. She had been painted and adorned with her earrings and her jewels. She went after her lovers, those of her affection. She did all this to make herself beautiful before their eyes. And it said also, with what she done, she said, talking about her or she, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels. She went after her lovers and forget me, saith the Lord Jehovah. She became enthralled with all of these lovers and all of these things that she thought they could give her, when God could give her even more than they could. And that's a good place to end on 13, because 14 kind of changed gears in 14 here, and we'll pick up and go with that next time, and we'll at least go to the end of chapter 3, and because this deals with the other 10 tribes and with all this symbolism here, and we see now that, as we saw in Ezekiel, that God has given them a promise that he's going to take them back. And so the promise begins to come around here with Gomer and with those that he is dealing with, the Israel that he's dealing with here, that Gomer was symbolic of, that he hasn't given up on, that he's going to take them aside and speak calmly to them. He's going to speak his words of compassion to them again, that they might return and do what he asked them to do in the very beginning, which they did not very long do. So we'll stop here tonight and hope you you receive something from this. But all of this goes back and it gives you the idea and the understanding that God's ways are pretty straightforward with these two groups of people, although they're one group, or should be one group, and looking forward to the time that they will again be one group.
That's amazing what a picture and, God uses.
So
what a picture he uses to paint what Israel is really doing here. I mean, it's something that all of us understand and can. The imagery and all the.
The Word of God is a work of art. I mean, really. Now, you know, we know it's God's Word. We know it's laid out specifically in ways that man could not have done on his own. No man could have done that on his own. But it keeps showing you. It keeps showing you right down the line these ways and these things of him.
All Israel.
Making it right again as in truth, because God's ways are truth. And whether or not, you know, we might agree or disagree with this, it's things that we need to know and understand. And again, as we said, this is not the first time, nor would be the last time that we will see the Lo-Ammite thing come up. So that is very important, that because Israel, even today, is Lo-Ammite.
That's where we were tonight at the church, went through Acts 13.
Yeah.
Where Paul lays out for the men of the synagogue there the history of Israel from the Exodus all the way to the end of David's reign, which, if I remember right, was like 530 years. And then you take the 400 and go back and look at those same periods in the Old Testament, the missing 93 years, there's a 93-year discrepancy.
Yeah, right.
And thought about, you know, getting into that and introducing them to the not my people thing.
And who could have comprehended that as it was going on? I mean, you know, it was something after the fact that turned out to be a very beautiful picture of how gracious God is and his doings with his people. And he keeps giving them chance after chance. So thank you for being with us tonight, and I hope that you got something out of this. It goes again back to the things that man wants to do that God says, I've got a better plan. The man said, nah, I think I like this better, but it just doesn't work. Just doesn't work. God bless you. Remember us in your prayers and with you. And pray that God will direct and lead us in the ways that he wishes that we go, and that we do that. Thank you much.